Good morning, and this is Uncle Paul's Jazz Closet, Friday, December 16th, I almost said 15th, and we have a special show today, live in the studio, Ryan Blotnick. Welcome, Ryan.
Hey.
I can't really hear you in my headphones. What's going on for a second? So today's show is going to feature Ryan playing his guitar, and he brought a bunch of albums in. And we started out the show with 2 Miles a Day, a 2007 release from Jacob Sachs and Elvin Opsvik.
Ivan,
how do you say his last name?
Opsvik.
Ivan Opsvik. And he's on bass, and Jacob is on piano. And Matt Maneri was on viola and Paul Modian on drums. And that was recorded in 2007 in Brooklyn, New York. And so, Ryan, you were saying that you felt that the influence of Paul on younger musicians is something that hasn't really, I haven't really focused on too much on my show, or that that's something you want us to focus on today.
Right. I guess my idea was just to sort of talk. Can you hear me okay?
I'm not getting any sound out of the. Let me try something here. I'm not hearing.
Is this the mic? Or?
Yeah, that's the mic. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're definitely. Okay. I can see you on the VU meters here, but I can't hear you in the headphones, which seems kind of weird. Let me see if I can. Well, yeah, I don't know why this thing is not. Well, I know we're on the air, so
okay. When I was living in New York, there was a whole sort of scene around musicians that were, I think, it was almost like it was a school of improvisers that wrote their own music. They were into playing free sometimes, playing in time sometimes, out of time sometimes. It's kind of like, it was almost like the middle of the road school where, you know, free jazz, but not super abrasive, elements of like harmony and, very melodic. And that was kind of the scene that I was interested in. It all sort of revolved around Paul, I thought, in a way. Because he was out there playing every couple months. You could go see him at Village Vanguard six nights in a row.
What year was that?
I guess I was in New York from roughly 2004 to 2014.
Yeah, so that was when he stopped. He wasn't touring at all in Europe. He was just playing in New York.
Right.
Yeah, he really, the impression I got from him is he was just, he would try almost, playing with anybody if he thought that they're, the musicians would like talk among themselves, like,
right.
Him and the people he played with, and if somebody heard somebody, they were really interested in what the younger jazz guys were doing. They, would go and listen and see, if the potential was there, and always sort of searching for this,
right?
Well,
I think a lot of people, in New York, there's always the dream that you maybe get to play with some of these legends, but most of the legends that were still playing, they kind of had their set band that they used, and they wouldn't. It wasn't like you could just get recommended and then all of a sudden you'd be playing with Jimmy Cobb or something. Like it was, with Paul, it seemed, because he was willing to take those risks every time he played at the Vanguard, keep on changing the bands around. There was a lot of people that got the chance to play with him, and they were able to sort of spread that.
I think it's because of, the roots of when he first was in New York. You would go to the musicians union and hang out, and that's how you met other musicians. And then people would come in and, you know, pick out people for a band. And so it was kind of random who you ended up playing with. And I think the early jazz musicians thrived on that, because they'd play with somebody and then, you know, it seemed great, or they'd play, then they'd have another gig and it was horrible, and they just kept trying. I mean, it's like any art form, I think. You just keep doing it. So I think, Paul was a little unusual. He kept doing that his whole life. You know, he kept, you know, wanting to see who was out there and what they were doing. Yeah. So what should we play next? You've got, do you want to pick out another song? Do you want to, and then you could get ready for to play live?
Maybe while we have that disc in, we could just play the next track off that. It's pretty interesting. Okay. I just really like the way Paul would approach sort of more free time kind of stuff. And it's kind of this concept of, I mean, he, through his lifetime, he saw the whole evolution of jazz drumming from like playing four on the floor, like every single beat, really clearly, to like being able to just hear the beat in your head and play everything else all around it. And he was there for that whole evolution. And I think it's pretty fun to listen to how he's playing in 2007, at sort of like the culmination of that, for, you know, the way I saw it in his playing.
Okay.
So I think track five is a good example.
Yeah, track five is called Evening Kites. And I didn't know, are these all written by Jacob Sachs?
Who's the kiss? Yeah, I think the two of them wrote everything. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll go to Evening Kites. Thank you. Okay, that was Evening Kites. And that was from Jacob Sachs and Ivan Opsvik's album 2 Miles a Day with Matt Manieri and Paul Modian, recorded in 2007. So I was asking, so Ryan just moved to Southwest Harbor in Maine here about a year ago. And so tell us a little bit about, so you've lived all over, you grew up in southern Maine and went to high school in Portland, you said?
Yeah. I went to Wayne Fleet for high school because there was a really good jazz program there. I got into jazz through Maine Jazz Camp when I was in middle school. And
that was when Steve Grover was running it? Or
yeah, the first year was that I went there was Steve Grover's last year as the director, and then it got passed off to Christine Correa. But it was, I mean, it's, and still is, just an amazing program. Every single night there's like concerts by some of the best musicians from New York that are the teachers, and they put on a different show each night of, you know, one of the faculty's music. So it's kind of like a rotating thing. Everyone gets their night to put on a show, and that was like,
town is that in?
It's you mean Farmington.
Oh, okay. It's at the university.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can go to those concerts in July, or maybe somewhere in June. And I think it's the beginning of July.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I didn't really, I guess I imagined it was at like when, because it's called a camp, I imagined it was at like a campground.
Right. But, no, it's on the college campus. It's kind of fun. But
and so then, but then you went to college, you said, for and studied music for a bit.
Yeah, so I went down to William Patterson, the guy running the program at the time. Which I think he's still running it. It's Dave Dempsey, who used to be, he's a Mainer. He used to run the program at UMaine of Augusta.
Uh-huh.
And I was down in New York, well, in New Jersey for like a year and a half, and then I ended up finding my way over to Copenhagen to another school called the Rhythmic Music Conservatory,
uh-huh.
which was pretty interesting.
And so you lived there for how long in Copenhagen?
I was there kind of on and off for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. I guess people don't really, I think a lot of people who don't know about jazz, or they don't realize how much bigger it is in Europe than in the United States, right? Don't you,
yeah,
you say
well, that was part of the reason I wanted to go over there, is because people would be like, man, you should check out Copenhagen. Everyone's like, you know, people really come out for shows and listen. And I went over there, and it was true. I was only 17 when I first went there, but you could still go out and hang out with people your own age and listen to music, which you can't even do in Maine, really, barely. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it's hard for, I mean, there's some local, there's a couple of local open mics here.
Right.
And Rock City Music, they really have been steady about having bands, but, you know, people are just playing for the tip jar.
Right.
You know, it's really,
but that's rare to have, like, coffee shops, like, underage places that have that kind of scene. I mean, there's only.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
I mean, a lot of towns don't have that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, we're pretty, I mean, it's pretty culturally pretty good right around here.
Oh, yeah.
Year round. I mean, we get all kinds of good music at the Strand. And
for sure.
Yeah. So then you, after Copenhagen, you lived in New York City for a bit.
Yeah, so then I kind of, my last couple of years at the conservatory, I was going back to New York and doing like a sort of independent study in New York and studying with some people. So the school in Copenhagen would actually give me the money that they would have spent on my lessons, and I could study with people in New York.
Wow.
And so I got, and some of them were kind of, you know, Paul Modian disciples, like Ben Street and Lee Konitz and Steve Cardenas I was studying with for kind of regularly. But then.
Yeah, I talked to him and I asked him about you.
Oh, you did?
I was like, I have this guy, Ryan Blahnik, on the show. Do you know him, right? he said you were all right.
um,
So who, what would you say your early guitar, jazz guitarists that you really like? I mean, who did you hear that made you want to play?
Well, originally it was, you know, somebody gave me a list of guitar players, and it was like Wes Montgomery, Grant Green, Pat Martino, and then when I got to New York, I got into a lot of like Kurt Rosenwinkel and Ben Maunder and Bill Frisell. Uh-huh. And yeah, I think Paul had really good taste. All of his guitar players were kind of the best.
Yeah, he really, I think his, a lot of the music he wrote, he wrote some of it for guitar.
Right. Well, that Electric Bebop band was, yeah. I remember hearing that record when I was in high school still. They had it at the Portland Public Library.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it was just, I had never heard anything like that. I mean, you're listening to like the jazz that you hear when you're in high school and it's all very acoustic. All of a sudden I'm hearing these like electric distorted guitars with weird effects, and there's two of them, and they got the volume pedal swells, and I mean, that was a big deal to me to hear that.
Yeah, it's reading his notebooks when he started that band is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, he really, the whole time he's always like, you know, sometimes it was really great, sometimes he was unhappy, but it was all like this giant experiment, kind of, and it's a unique sound, and yeah, it is a really unique sound. I don't think anybody's quite playing anything like quite like that, the Electric Bebop band.
No, it had its special time and place, right?
Yeah.
But everyone in that band went on to do really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
That's some of, you know, some of the records that I brought in, are some people that were in that band that, you know, what they ended up doing 10 years later or something.
Yeah, yeah, it really was a springboard for a lot of people. I think because Paul really encouraged members of the band, even though it was such a big band, he really wanted everybody to, he really encouraged people to do their own thing, you know?
Right.
He didn't want people just to follow him. He wanted them to develop their own thing. And I think people that, you know, were really good caught on to that and used that opportunity to explore and gave them more confidence maybe to go on to do their own stuff later, or I don't know.
Right.
I guess that's just a theory, but so next up we have the album Think Like the Waves with Gordon, how'd you say his last name?
I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce, but
and it's Gary Peacock on bass and Paul Modian on drums, and this is out on Songline Records, which Ryan, you said is your label.
Yeah.
You put this album out.
Yeah, it's a record label out of Vancouver that, you know, they put out a lot of stuff by people that played with Paul. Like some of the early, they put out like some Human Feel and Chris Speed stuff.
And, this is the tune Renunciations. And I want to, it's already 9:30. And so I'm going to remind you that you're listening to Community Radio, WRFR, Low Power, Rockland, Maine, 93.3 FM.
Thank you.
So you just heard Lunenburg from Ryan Blotnick's new CD, Kush, and that's out on Songline Records. And before that, we heard Renunciations from Think Like the Waves, also from Songline, and that's with Gordon Gordina, Gary Peacock, and Paul Modian. And see the lineup on Ryan's new CD is Ryan on guitar, Michael Blake on tenor and soprano saxophone, Scott Kohlberg on bass, R.J. Miller on drums.
On that track is
Johnny Lamb.
It's Johnny Lamb playing pedal steel.
Yeah. Nice sound. Nice recording. So you were saying this Songlines is in Canada and they they're out of
Vancouver.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they started out as sort of an audiophile label and put out stuff on like super audio CD. And now we're doing a lot of stuff just as regular CD too, but constant, you know, focus on, you know, making stuff sound really nice.
Yeah. And so, Ryan, you can get Ryan's CDs through his website, ryanblotnick.com. And then you were just telling me you're doing a benefit concert for the Maine Jazz Camp in Portland, here in Maine, on December 27th. So that's not too far away, at Woodford's Church. And the first set is a duo with UN saxophonist Danny Fisher Lockhead.
Yeah.
Lockhead. And then the second set is with R.J. Miller on drums and Bill McHenry on saxophone.
Yeah. Yep.
So what time does that show start? 7 or something?
8 o'clock. The doors are at 7:30.
And
it's kind of like a little mini festival they Paul Lichter puts on every year to benefit the scholarship fund, which is kind of important because I don't know if I would have been able to go to Maine Jazz Camp originally if it wasn't for the scholarship fund. So I don't know if I'd even be into jazz if it wasn't for that. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. So is it... how can people get tickets to that? Is it just at the door, or do you have
to You can just go to the door. I don't think there's advanced tickets for this one. But it's every night. There's a concert on the 20th with Sammy Stevens, great singer. And then the 27th is what we just talked about. And then the 28th and the 29th and the 30th, there's great bands, two great bands every night. So you can look it up online at Dimensions in Jazz or the Portland Conservatory of Music.
Yeah.
Should have that listing.
Oh, yeah. That's not too far from here, so I hope people will.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a drive, but, you know, it's worth it to see a good concert.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds great. So, next up, we're going to play another cut from Ryan's Kush CD, and this is called Churchy.
Oh, I just wanted to say about that last track was, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
I think one thing that I associate with Paul Modian is this sort of time feel that's, it's hard to put a name on it, but it's almost like jazz people might call it kind of like a rock feel, but definitely doesn't sound like rock and roll. It's not necessarily like a swing feel, but it's just, I don't know, it's almost like he invented that feel, and that was kind of what I wanted on that track. But obviously R.J. Miller came up with his own really amazing original interpretation of it, but that was sort of the way that that track ties into Paul Modian.
So you were thinking about his interactions when he's playing, sort of? Is that what you mean, or?
I'm
not sure I quite understand.
Just this certain kind of, like, it's like a straight feel, but it's always changing. It's not like a steady drum beat.
Uh-huh.
It's always playing around with, it's almost like you're imagining a rock feel and then cutting out 95% of it or something, you know. It's a minimalistic thing, but.
Okay, so we'll hear Churchy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Ryan Blatnick on guitar, Michael Blake on, was that soprano or tenor on that one?
That was tenor.
Tenor, saxophone, Scott Kohlberg on bass, R.J. Miller on drums. And the tune was called Churchy. And all the songs on this album are composed by Ryan Blatnick. And Ryan next is going to play, he brought his acoustic guitar, and so he's going to play a song from that. So what are you going to play for us, Ryan?
I think I'll try to, my hands are still a little cold, so I'm going to try to warm up with this tune from my second album, Everything Forgets. The song's called Mansell.
Okay.
Thank you. Very nice.
Excellent.
So Mansell is the name of that tune, and it's on your second album?
Yeah, actually, I wrote it when I was hiking on Mansell Mountain up in Acadia National Park.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just kind of hiking along, and this little melody drifted into my head. And, you know, the sort of the little drone bass line is kind of like the sound of the footsteps. And then, I don't know about you, but when I go hiking in nature, sometimes after I've been out for like 45 minutes or something, I get into like this really kind of nice space where my mind's just sort of wandering. And
yeah, I love to hike. So
yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
I'm sure there's a lot of people around here that like to hike. So
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we've thought on and off of moving up that way where you guys are on the island, because we really like it up there, and there's so much. I mean, there's a lot of hiking around here, but not like up there.
It's right.
Pretty incredible. Yeah. Okay, so we've got a few minutes to the top of the hour. Do you want to do another live tune, or do you want to play another CD, do you think?
Why don't I do another? There's a song I wrote for Paul about 5 years ago. It'd be fun to try. I've never recorded it or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So you wrote it when he passed away.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He, I always say that I think that, you know, he's probably still best known for playing with Bill Evans, but I really think in the long run, he's going to be known for his influence on the next generation of jazz players. Yeah. Okay. Do you have a title for this tune, or?
I just wrote down the date, which is 11/22/11, which I thought was kind of poetic that was the date he chose to leave on. It's so like rhythmic, you know, 1-1-2-2-1-1, like.
Yeah, it's true. I never thought of that.
I feel like it's like a drum fill. Like, do, 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 do,
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.